God, for your presence in this house. We want to thank you for the joy of salvation that we can feel in this place. We know without you, Lord, we cannot do anything. But I'm so glad that you are here today. You're going to anoint us, Jesus Christ, and bless our people, our hearts will be in the right place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may have your seat today. Amen. We have all prayed a lot for the anointing of the Lord. Amen. We want him to anoint your heart. But even equally important is to anoint your ears, because you have to listen to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. But today, as I started talking about the changing times in our days, I do travel a lot, and sometimes I read signs. And some of the signs that I have read, sometimes I go and make note in my notebook, like this sign here from one church that reads, "Try Jesus. If you don't like him, the devil will take you back." That's on one church sign. Amen. But what about this? Church parking only. Violators will be baptized. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then honk. If you love Jesus, text while driving if you really want to meet him. Praise God. I want us to turn in our Bible today in the book of Samuel. And hopefully it will come on the screen. Samuel chapter 9, 1 to 3. Okay, we can read that together. Amen. And it's good for us all to read the Word of God. Sometimes we are so busy throughout the week. Sometimes only in church we have the chance to do that. Amen. So we can go ahead and read that together. "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abia, the son of Zerah, the son of Bishora, the son of Afia, the Benjamite, a mighty man of power." And then we'll go to 16 to 17. Verse 16 and 17 of the same chapter. Okay. "Tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come up unto me." You may have your seat. Tonight I want to speak to you briefly on this topic, how not to die. How not to die. When you read the story of King Saul, there is nothing in his life from the beginning that can set you up for disaster in his life. Because the story of King Saul is a beautiful one. This is the man who replaced God on the throne on this earth. This is the man when Israel said, "We don't want Samuel," because at the time Samuel was the judge. "We don't want you, Samuel." This was the time when they said, "God, we do not want you. We want a man to lead us." And Saul happened to be that man. God picked him up. You can see the story here as we read. This is a handsome man. Very, very tall. The Bible says no matter where he went, he stood taller than anyone else. Now, there is something about height. Research shows that people who are taller cannot have it a little easier. Even for jobs interview. If you are very short, maybe like I am, maybe you have to try twice. And sometimes too, even in relationship, maybe you have more shorter guys that are dumb than taller guys. I don't know how that is. But that's what research says. When you are tall, and definitely Saul did not disappoint. He was handsome. The Bible said there was no guy in all of Israel that looked like him. Now, let me give you some basic characteristics before we go in his story. Saul, from the beginning, was a very humble man. He came from a little unknown tribe of Benjamin. And when God sent to get Saul, Saul could not believe that he, of all people, that God would pick up to be a king over Israel. When the men of God called him or met up with him and said that God has sent me to you, you will be the king over Israel, Saul asked this question, who? Me? And the men of God, Samuel, said, yes, I am at this moment going to anoint you, and you will be the king over Israel. What did Saul do after that moment? Well, if that were me, I would go home, call my family. We're going to talk about having a party, something. Go call my friends, let them know what has happened, the change that has come. But Saul did not do that. When he was anointed king, he ran away and hid himself because he did not feel that he was up to the task of being a king over Israel. God have called Saul because he saw certain characteristics in him. This man was very diligent. When his father's sheep got missing, or the donkeys, and his father sent him to look for the donkeys, he stayed for many days, going in every town to make sure that you find his father's donkeys. And he was very wise, very thoughtful. When you could not find the donkeys, he told his servants, we better go home, because soon our father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys. Wouldn't that be wonderful in your household? When your children leave and say, I'm coming back in 2 hours, turn up to midnight and still not showing up, and you have to call, and then when you call, the phone is dead. And what are you laughing about? Hallelujah. But no, he said, we better go home because our father is going to be more concerned. And while we're going home, this is another characteristic of Saul. One of the servants said, well, we did not find the donkeys, but there's a man of God in this town. Let me tell you how God works things through, how he navigates, even in critical areas. There's a man of God in this town. And then Saul, being the kind of character he was, he told the servants, we need to carry a gift then to the man of God. That's how much he cared about authority at the time. And they went closer, and Samuel saw him. Samuel jumped on his feet, went to meet him. Today you will be the king of Israel. In fact, you are spending the night in my house. You and I will eat together. As the story rolls on, Saul has left to go home. And when he got home, his father had heard that he went to meet Samuel. And so his father is asking him this question: what did Samuel say to you, son? What did he say? What did Samuel say? Do you know what Samuel said? He said, the man of God said, your donkeys have been found. To get to you, still up to now, he is not at the level where he is accepting the tremendous responsibility, but I just show you he was not a boastful feather. He could have gone through all the land and ringing bells and say, I am the king. But even his uncle and relatives, when they ask you, what did the man of God, because we suspect something, he said, oh, the man of God not told me your donkeys have been found. He was a man of good character. And then when he was anointed, some of the young people in his own household came to mock him. Of all people, this, you are the one going to be a king over us. Saul turned around, and when he finally became a king, being recognized, people should kill them. You know, in those days, that was a simple thing. But the gentle hand of Saul will not be lifted against those people. He said, no, we are not going to kill them. Hallelujah. So I have brought this up to you to see that we have a train wreck. We have a disaster here that is not being expected because the settings are no way prepare us to see what happened in the life of Saul. In the final analysis, this man who is so humble, this man who has such high respect for authority, in the final analysis, Saul committed suicide. Killed himself. No one saw it coming. In some of the books in the Bible, it said that an Amalekite killed him. Whatever the situation is, his end was something that nobody could have predicted because they were the final. And God said so, that he was beautiful and handsome and he was obedient. Nothing in his resume or his track record to show that you are going to make a shipwreck out of his life. But other than it was not too long, the first thing that happened to him was that they have gone to war, and the man of God said, I am coming. But you couldn't wait. And he made sacrifice that he's not supposed to have made. And the man of God is upset with him. And so I will make almost three other sacrifices that he had no business of making. Hallelujah. And the man of God will come to him and say, Saul, did you know that it is better to obey than to sacrifice? It is better to hearken to the voice of God rather than trying your own way. And when you have come to the end of the road, before you want to turn around. And I know there are so many people in their lifetime who have heard the voice of God, but they chose to go their own way and they had a second chance. But how sure are you that there will be a second chance for you? How sure are you? Hallelujah. So, the man of God appeared to him, Samuel, the last time you saw. You have disobeyed the voice of God, and so God has rejected you. What? Like a train wreck, God has rejected you. I don't know about you, but I hate to be rejected. You all been there before? I don't like to be rejected, even though sometimes I deserve it, but still. Hallelujah. So when God, who had lifted this man up, and he said, I have called you and given you a position to rule over my people, the same God now looked at Saul and said, I have rejected you. And that rejection also meant that God had lifted his spirit of Saul. Saul cried, and he sought a place of repentance, but he was a kind of man who kept doing the same thing over and over and over and over. And God said, I have formed a new king. As the story ends, this is not how it's supposed to have ended. Saul should not be killed, as it would take another side of the story by an Amalekite. The Amalekite were the very people that he had saved their king. But on his last day, the very people he saved are the people who took his head. This story is not supposed to end this way, because it did not prepare me to see Saul. Well, he died as the king of Israel, the anointed one of Israel. But let me tell you how King Saul was buried. No, he was not buried. He was burned. Too many times in our lifetime as Christians, I know a lot of things happen in our lives that sometimes we are not prepared for. But no matter how disastrous our beginning can be, the story can change. It does not have to end this way. Hallelujah. Because we serve the God of mercy. There are some of you sitting under the sound of my voice today. You have decided to make certain decisions. You have decided to step out. There are issues in your life. And you have said, I cannot take it anymore. But before you throw in a towel, let me tell you, it does not have to end this way. It does not have to end this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saul died in his own country. There was no burial for him. And they burned his body, because he deviated from the path that God has set for him. Another disastrous journey is a journey by a prophet called Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God. And when Israel left from Egypt, as they traveled into the land of Canaan, all the kings around were very afraid of Israel. And so, and I don't know why, but they decided they want to get hold of Balaam, the prophet of God, to come and curse God's people. We're going to call Balaam to come and curse God's people. Does that even make sense? But they sent messengers, and the messengers came to Balaam. The king has sent us to get you. We want you to come and curse Israel. Really? Yes. Okay. But let me go and consult the Lord whether he really wants me to do this. There are things in their life that are not worth praying over. Hallelujah. Because there are things that are so clear. I was telling our church this morning, I cannot pray, God help me to love my wife. It's kind of too late, isn't it? I cannot pray, God help me to love my children. What? There are just things in their lives are not worth praying over. It's just like when I leave my home, and you young people, you leave your parents' home, and you go to a place that you know you're not supposed to be. Instead of sitting there and praying, sometimes you need to get out. Hallelujah. You don't pray for everything. When David was being pursued by Saul, there are many instances that David ran for his life. He said, I'm going to kneel right here to pray. Sometimes we put ourselves in a path of disaster and then say, I'm going to pray about this. Folks, sin will take you much farther than you are prepared to go. It will take you just slowly. And then you find out that you cannot turn around. So that everything in your life you got to pray about because it's not worth praying over. Some things you have to. But old Balaam said, God, I came to the Lord. Lock your hand. The Lord said, no. He said, okay, he came and said to the messengers, well, God said, no. I don't know what's wrong, but he said, no. The messenger will go and come back again. But the king wants you to come and curse. These people are too many. They're going to take over our land. Balaam said, oh, let me go and tell God, God, they're still calling on me to go and curse your people. Why do you think God said no? Balaam will come and say, well, he said no again. And then the king will add more gifts every time. More gifts. Gold, silver, a lot of things the king is sending his way. At this final analysis, when Balaam went to God, God said, okay, go. Let me tell you, Christian folks, it is not every okay means that you have met God's approval. Because there is God's permissive will. And you also have God's perfect will. If you insist on doing things that are wrong, that you know they are wrong, God will allow you to go ahead. But your end may be the end, as it was with Balaam. Balaam started off the journey. And the Bible said they came to a narrow pathway. And the donkey would not go any farther. Balaam is kicking and doing everything to get a donkey to go. But the donkey would not move. And finally, he was so mad. God opened his eyes and he saw an angel standing with a flaming sword ready to devour him. I want to ask you a question here today. What is it going to take, young people and maybe even some old people? What is it going to take to get your attention? Is it going to be a dumb donkey that is speaking to you? Or is it going to be a flaming sword that has been pointed to devour you? What is it going to take? Hallelujah. Finally, Balaam fell on his feet, on his knees, apologized. God said, that's okay. It's too late. Just go on. And he went. But to end that story, as they have begun, this is a prophet of God. Hallelujah. He is a prophet of God. But Balaam was so disobedient, and God would not listen to him. And you could feel in his spirit that God had removed his spirit from him. One day, Balaam went to pray, and he said, God, here I am. I want whatever happened to me. I want to die the death of the righteous. A prayer of disaster. There is no way that we can die the death of the righteous when we have not lived the life of the righteous. And not just overnight. To die the death of the righteous, you're going to live the life of the righteous. Hallelujah. It's not supposed to happen this way because this is a prophet of God. His enemy was also a disaster. Moses killed him on the battlefield because he was on a different side. And this man died, not the death of the righteous, because he would not listen to the voice of God. It is important to listen when God speaks. I don't care how long it takes. He is never late. He is always on time. But many times we are not willing to listen to the voice of God until disaster happens in our lives. Then we think we can cry to him. For Balaam, it was too late. In fact, the title of a prophet was stripped from him. Moses looked at him and called him a soothsayer. In Africa, we call them sand cutters. Took his prophet, tattered away. Moses pursued him on the battlefield because he wanted to run out of the battle. And he died. It's not supposed to have happened this way, brother. Hallelujah. But it happened. Hallelujah. I have come here to tell you, no matter what the circumstances are, we always know that God is always right. Hallelujah. But so many of us start so well. We run this race so well. Until something happens in our lives and we give our hope. But I'm here to tell you today, our life does not have to be a disaster. That disease, hallelujah, that has disabled our bodies, those circumstances that vex our very soul, I am telling you that we have a God, the God of Israel, that he is able to do far more abundantly than any man can do on this earth. We have to trust him. He is able. Hallelujah. It does not have to be that way. Sometimes the devil comes and tells us that our relationships will fail. It does not have to. It does not have to be that way. Because we serve a God of love and God of mercy. This week I got a bad news from Philadelphia area that a friend of ours killed his son. A Liberian fellow killed his son. And he was being deported and a lot of things. But, you know, and I can understand, sometimes we all have problems with our children. Amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes we lose hope. But what I want to tell you here today is if God gives you those children, God will take care of those children. I don't care what situation they are in. They are children. They are your children. Hallelujah. Whether they love God, they do not love God. As a parent, you must treat your children like God treats you. God will never abandon you just because you fail. Hallelujah. He is not going to do that. How many times God did not pick up David? And why? Hallelujah. How many times David did not fail God? How many times David committed a murder and David was a lousy father? And his children picked up after him. But God said David was the apple of his eye. And God expect me to treat Jordan, to treat Jalen, the same way, hallelujah. And no matter who you are here today that I'm speaking to, in the situation in your home, may feel hopeless. You may say, I don't know what is wrong with this girl. I don't know what is wrong with this boy. But God is working it out. He is working it out. He is working it out. And you keep on believing and trusting him. It does not have to happen. It does not have to end that way. It does not have to. I believe that God had a purpose for every human being. He had a purpose for your family. He had a purpose for your girls. He had a purpose for your boys. He had a purpose for your church. You are not an accident. It does not make any difference how you got here. Now you are here. And God had a plan for you. And when you leave from here today, hallelujah. I don't know what the need is in your house. I don't know what it is that you are struggling with. But it does not have to end that way. It does not have to. No matter how difficult it seems, it does not matter what the devil says to you, he is a liar. Balaam died, not the death of the righteous. Saul started out so well.
a young man that any father or mother will let her have as a father-in-law. Amen. Handsome, promising, very respectful. He respects authority. Hallelujah. When you say, clean your room, you don't have to tell him 101 different times. He just gets up and clean it. Why? Who would not want that kind of son? Stop laughing at my message. But he was the right kind of son. He had everything, but his life ended in a disaster because he disobeyed. He would not listen when God spoke to him. He had his own plan. It makes no difference who you are here tonight. I will come to the close of this service. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know what you are thinking. But I am here to tell you, if at all you are the kind of person you feel so hurt, you feel that something is not right about your life, about your children, about your wife or husband, I am here to tell you, it does not have to be a disaster. It does not have to end this way. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And the Lord, as we stand up at this moment, and I want us to pray. And I don't know who you are, but if you need the help of God to intervene in your life, and you look at this picture here today, your life can count for something. And I am telling you here, Brother Will, I am not there here to be passing through. I want to make sure that the day will come when I'm no longer here. Somebody will come here, they will say, a Liberian fellow was here. And when they say that, they will be proud. I want when that is said, you are proud about it. Because I made my pastor proud. Because I made my church proud. Because I don't want to make a shipwreck. I don't want to end this way. There is a way not to die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if you are here today, if you are one of those persons, he said, this sickness, this family situation, whatever I am facing, I want you to come to this altar here tonight. I want you to come believing that it does not have to end that way. You said, Brother David, I don't have the answer. No, you don't have the answer, but I know who has the answer. Hallelujah. He can change the situation around. He can make your life more beautiful again. That relationship, whatever it is that you want, God can change it around. Sometimes the problem that we have in the Christian church is that we feel that because we are Christian, bad things are not supposed to happen to us. I have done everything I can to be good. But God allows bad things to happen to Christians sometimes. Because he wants to use that situation for his glory. But from that bad situation, there's always a life lesson that's going to make you better. It's going to make you better when it's all over with. Don't leave from here today. If you know that in your life, you have a situation in the touch of God. It does not have to happen that way. The relationship may be bad. Hallelujah. He may feel that there's nothing you're going to do about this. Or your children may be giving you a heartbreak. You don't understand why. You have lived the Christian life the best way you know how. But things are going on the way you hoped they would. It does not have to end this way. Glory to God. We serve a God of mercy. And he is right here in this church. At this altar, he's going to change things around for you. Hallelujah. He's going to change things around. Hallelujah. He is the fixer. He can fix it. It does not matter. Whatever the devil say, he is a liar. And I want to ask you, whose report are you going to believe? Glory to God. He can fix it. If you have a You had a poor health. God can heal your body. He can do it tonight. If you need a gift of the Holy Ghost, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. If something is wrong in your family, God can fix it. He can fix it. Hallelujah. There is a way not to die after you're giving your whole life to the church. Don't allow the last moments to cause you to fall. Many people are falling away, but yet there are many other people that are coming. Because God is not going to throw you away just because you fall. Let me tell you that. Hallelujah. He is not here. He's not in a throwing away business. If you have fallen, admit it. The difference between David and Saul is this. Saul did not commit the same kind of sin that David committed because David did worse things. But you know the difference? Saul, read the entire chapter. He gave excuses. He blamed it on other people. He was never a man enough to say, God, I am that man. Nathan looked at David and said, David, thou art the man. David fell. Yeah, that's me, Lord. I am the one. Please, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I got to have the Holy Spirit. He fell on his feet. And God said, look at that man. And he said, you are the apple of my eye. Don't think that because you have made mistakes in your life that God is going to cast you away. But he wants you to admit it. So never did. They gave excuses. The people made me to do it. I didn't want to do it, Lord, but they made me to do it. David fell. God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I am the man. I'm guilty. I just stand before this altar to this evening. I'm going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. No matter what your situation is, I want you to know that I have to end this way. Hallelujah. There is a way that you should not die. There is a way that your marriage should not end. There is a way that your children should not have to continue. Because God can change it around. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father here today, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the way maker, oh God. There are fathers, there are mothers, there are families that are standing at the altar here today, and they need a mercy, oh God. They need a sense of direction. We pray that your Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit will build a hedge around them. Your Holy Spirit will get a hope, will restore the hope in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heal their bodies, Lord. Lord, I hear today that I need the Holy Ghost. Lord, you have promised the Holy Ghost already. Lord, fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Life does not have the end in disaster. It does not have the end that way. Your marriage does not have the end that way. Your household situation does not have the end that way. The sickness in your body does not have the end that way. God is able. Don't give up on God. Some of you are going through a lot. But it does not matter how much you have lost. If you have lost everything and all you have left is Jesus, you have more than enough to start over. If you have lost everything, if your body fails you, maybe that job situation is not working the way you want it to work. If you have lost everything, if you have Jesus, you have more than enough to start over. And everyone that you're standing here today, you have more than enough to restore your marriage, You have more than enough to get your children in the church. You have more than enough, hallelujah, to that job situation. You have more than enough. The fixer can fix it. Don't get up on God. He did not bring you this far to leave you alone. Glory to God. I'm going to be asking the men of God to come. But I just want to let you know, if you have forgotten about everything I have said, then know, no matter what the situation is in your life, it does not have to end that way. It does not have to be a disaster. I have seen many young people, beautiful boys, beautiful girls, very promising. You look at them and say, this is it. And they make a detour. You see them, and their life is so different. I went to a meeting the other day, and I saw a young lady from one of our churches. And I couldn't make her up. And the mothers came to me and said, John, do you still remember her? And I said, no. And she said, that's my daughter, and called the name. I said, wow, boy, she's so beautiful. You know, kind of make it just. But they have changed so much. No, sisters, brothers, husbands, wives, it does not have to end that way.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why don't we just begin to pray right now? I feel the Holy Ghost wants to